Welcome back in to From the Diamond with Grant McCauley right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we continue our look across all of baseball, or that trip around the big leagues, as I like to call it. To help me break down some of the early goings-on for the league, I want to welcome in Scott Braun of Foul Territory. He, of course, can be heard just about every single day. You can watch him, as a matter of fact, as part of FanDuel Sports Network, as he and a host of former players break down the game, give you great insights, and have all the exclusive interviews and good content. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But, Scott, thanks for making some time for me. I appreciate it, as always. And we have got a lot to talk about from what has been a very eventful first weekend of Major League Baseball.
Cheers, Grant. Happy opening day. Always looking forward to this conversation. And I am currently in Cincinnati. This was my first opening day out here. They always get a little extra love, and I can actually see why. They truly treat it in the city like a holiday. Not that other cities don't, but I'm from the New York area, and it's a big deal. It's cool, but it's not the same. I mean, they've got the parade. It almost feels like a mini All-Star game out here. So I recommend it just for any baseball fans that enjoy the classic traditions. This is the spot, I think, for opening day, at least as far as the ones that I've been to across the country. It really stood out for me.
Yeah, you got to love the pomp and circumstance. I've heard a lot of good things about Cincinnati on opening day and the fact that a lot of people feel that, hey, maybe that should be where baseball starts every year. And it sounds like they're still making that case as well. So I hope to get up there at some point. Maybe the Braves will get up there for a Cincinnati opening day. We'll see. But baseball season is here, and with that, the hopes of clubs, well, most clubs anyway, are renewed. So I want to take a big picture look at the league, starting in the NL, where right here in the East, the Braves got their season underway on Thursday. It's happening way out west, which always has Braves fans in their feelings a little bit because those trips can go awry. But coming right out of the chute with the Padres and Dodgers, Scott, I mean, that's certainly a way to open up a season, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it can get ugly really quickly. And it's not necessarily the fault of the team. You know, I don't think the Braves looked terrible by any means. You just have to also keep in mind they're going up against a good ball club. I know that people are already freaking out about the bullpen. I'm sure we can talk through that. The other factor here is I believe they have seven in a row right off the jump. And many others do get off days mixed in. Often you see the opposite case here, where you're really able to dance around with your starting rotation, and there's two or three off days sometimes in the first week and a half for teams. So going through this opposite end of the spectrum, and the fact that arms get babied more and more nowadays, you might see funky decision-making by Brian Snicker with the bullpen, and I know that is going to bother people immensely, but you just can't roll out the same high-leverage guys on a daily basis, and you're probably going to be playing some close games when you're taking on the Padres and the Dodgers. You're not going to wipe away the Rockies for a few games.
No, it's going to be tough. I think the Braves know that. They've experienced that, and they're going to experience it over this next week, and it is going to be a feeling out process for a bullpen that very much is, I would say, kind of under construction, at least before you get to the eighth and maybe ninth innings. But putting that aside, and on the other side of this equation, the Padres are a team that had a very interesting winter, and they're in an interesting place, I think, maybe overall. A postseason team a year ago, AJ Preller has been one of the more aggressive GMs in the game during his tenure. However, things were awfully quiet for that club this winter, and that's going to make it an even steeper climb in an NL West race where nobody's going to catch the Dodgers maybe in the payroll department, but you'd like to have that puncher's chance to contend for the division on the field, right?
No doubt. I think that the Padres right now, when I look for a regular season team in that division, are third best. Obviously, we don't need to spend much time talking about how good the Dodgers are. The Diamondbacks have a really deep rotation. Corbin Burnes is pitching in game five. He's their best pitcher, you know, if not second best, but they messed up the schedule a little bit with him, which is kind of crazy. But anyway, that team can score. They can play defense. The bullpen will be a question for them a little bit as well. They're not as invested in their bullpen, but their starting rotation is really good. So I'm the high guy on that team. I'm very high on Arizona. And I think I'm on the higher side with San Diego, even though I have them as a third place club. I know they lost players, but they still have Michael King and Dylan Cease at the top of the rotation. I liked the Nick Pivetta signing for them. The bullpen should still be at least average in baseball. I know they lost an arm like Tanner Scott, who they acquired at the deadline. And then the offense is good. Jackson Merrill is a star. I'm sure Braves fans were thrilled to see how good he is. I'm always the high guy on a rise in the contact he makes. Tatis. It's a good team. Is it a great team? No, like it was last year. But is it a good team? Yes.
Yeah, I believe that they are, but a very good team ahead of them. Let's call them a great team. The Dodgers lurking for the Braves on the back end of this two-city road trip out west. They sucked up all the headlines by sucking up many of the great players on the market again. And I don't know if I've ever seen a team like this for a variety of reasons that I'm sure you guys have talked about a lot on Foul Territory. A nearly $400 million payroll should buy you just about everything you need to win, and it probably has. They've got some of the biggest superstars in the game. They've cornered the market on the Japanese imports. We could spend all of our time trying to break it all down, Scott, but I guess I'm just wondering how you view that Dodgers team and what they're doing versus virtually every other team in the sport, because I think this is just going to continue to be a talking point and a sticking point for a lot of other fan bases for the very obvious reason that it's hard to contend with a club that just seems to have unlimited spending.
It is, but I also think that everybody overreacts the same way they do on opening day to one World Series matchup with the Yankees and the Dodgers.
Yeah.
The year before that, Grant, we had the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. And often we have more Rangers-Diamondbacks type matchups in our sport than we do Dodgers-Yankees. We hadn't had a Dodgers-Yankees like that in a really long time. We haven't had a repeat champ. We're the only sport like that in a quarter century now. And sure, this might be the case where we finally get that. But even if we do, we never get this. So I just give a lot of credit to the organization for the way that they've not only built the club, but also spent their money wisely. The Mets had a massive payroll a couple years ago, didn't make the playoffs. The Padres had a massive payroll a couple years ago, didn't make the playoffs. We weren't complaining then. I think when everything comes together finally for a team like it has lately, that's when you get the complaining. So I still don't think they're going to win the World Series. For all that being said, why? I think they're the best team, but it just doesn't happen often when you get to the tournament environment that we do in October. I mean, I think that there are four or five teams in the National League that could upset them in the playoffs. So just law of averages and the World Series hangover that seems to always burn a ball club, even if you feel like everything's clicking and humming for them, that's what you get when you add it up. And that's why, despite history, it is hard to pick against them, but I'll still do it.
There you go. He's Scott Braun of Foul Territory. Joins me on the WaitForIt.com hotline on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we chat about all things Major League Baseball. And you knew we had to bring up the Dodgers because they always come up. And two things that came out of that for me in terms of what does the money actually guarantee, and the answer can oftentimes end up being nothing, is the Dodgers just won their first full season World Series since 1988. I mean, 2020, somebody had to win it, and they did. But that still speaks to how much money they've spent over at least the last decade and a half and still only won the one full season World Series. But we'll give them credit for two of them. But to Scott's point, there hasn't been a repeat champion. And I saw a lot of posts about, well, New York, LA, and Boston are the only markets that anybody cares about. Well, in the last 20 years, those teams have combined all of the teams in New York, the Boston Red Sox, and all of the teams in LA, which means just the Dodgers because the Angels can't seem to get there, have won six of the 20 World Series. So if you average it out, those teams win one World Series per decade. That doesn't sound like a parity problem to me, but I'm going to put that aside. So
no.
The NL East should be highly competitive, Scott. The Braves, welcome back. As you mentioned, Ronald Acuna Jr., Spencer Strider, hoping for better health overall. Phillies look formidable and very familiar. Mets backed up a couple of Brinks trucks to get Juan Soto to come over, retain Pete Alonso. They want to build off their playoff appearance from a year ago. How do you see the balance of power shaking out between those three teams in 2025? I think that we still have a chance to have three playoff teams coming out of the East, particularly if the West is weak behind the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think two is a lock and three is likely. The only reason you get hesitant about three is injuries are just a massive part of our sport, so you don't know what's going to happen, right? I mean, I know the Braves made it last year, but just barely, and who would have saw both Acuna and Strider going down pretty early on in the season. So that's what could hold back that prediction. But I do have all three making it into the playoffs. I did my predictions yesterday on Foul Territory. I have the Phillies and Braves a little bit over the Mets. So I have the Mets as a wild card club, either in the second or third slot. And then I think the Phillies and Braves might be a little bit closer. It's just based on the Mets pitching situation, specifically with the starters. They already lose Sean Manaea to start the year. I know he'll be back at some point in the first half of the season. Same case with Frankie Montas. That's two-fifths of their rotation. Opening day, they're starting Clay Holmes, who had never started before. It's just not exactly what you picture for a team that's spending that kind of money. I do think their offense is going to be really strong. And I think if they do have the pitching healthy at the right time and they click like they did last year, they're going to be a problem in the playoffs because Juan Soto is a one-man wrecking machine at that point.
Yeah.
They didn't have Soto last year and their offense was really good. So I love all three teams. That's my point. And with Atlanta, I preach patience. If this club comes back from the road trip, even 2-5, I would not be concerned, because you're going through a gauntlet to start your year, and eventually you are going to get Ronald and Spencer back, and it's going to make a massive, massive difference. The Phillies, for me, are the division winner because they don't have the same injury issues to start the year, and I really love the 1-5 in their starting rotation, of course, with Zach Wheeler leading the charge. It's a really good team. Their bullpen looks really good. And I think the Phillies are a little bit of a regular season team, especially coming off what they did last year in the regular season. The problem, Grant, is I feel like good pitching has been able to solve their lineup. So I've said this for the past year or so. Love the Phillies in the regular season. Question marks for me still about if this team can get to a World Series, because I feel like pitchers have been able to solve them in a 7-game series.
Yeah, very interesting, and perhaps a parallel for the Braves, especially in 2023 when the Phillies did exactly that to one of the best offenses we may ever see in our lifetime. But we spent a lot of time on the National League. I do quickly want to hit the AL because there are some interesting things going on. In the East, our old friend Max Fried has signed a big deal with the Yankees, and he's going to have to bring his best because Garrett Cole's done for the year. Juan Soto went across town, and the Yankees, despite being in the World Series last October, and I think we kind of touched on this with the parity thing, I don't think there's any way around the fact that they did not improve this winter, and that division is perhaps the toughest in baseball.
It is, top to bottom. I don't think there's a bad team in this division, right? The Blue Jays and the Rays are a notch below the Yankees, Red Sox, and Orioles, in my mind, Grant, but I don't think it's a large separation. The Rays can really pitch. The Blue Jays did get better. I know they got smashed by Baltimore, but let's not overreact. The Orioles are going to have a really good offense. There's enough there in the rotation for a regular season. I don't love what they have if they get to the playoffs, which has been a problem for them the last couple years in terms of their starters. They lost Burns. They didn't really replace him. The Red Sox are the sexy pick for many people right now to do a lot of damage, whether that's division or even representing the American League in the World Series. Their offense was really good last year. It got better. Their defense will get significantly better with Bregman, and they added pitching. They're going to be a problem. And I'm with you, Grant. I don't think the Yankees are better than they were last year. I didn't feel like that was the case even before the Luis Gil and Garrett Cole injuries. That's two star pitchers that you're losing, one for the year and one for half the year. So, yeah, I'm probably more down on the Yankees than most. I think they're a fringe playoff team. I think the battle of attrition is going to get to this team in the second half of the season, even if they're off to a decent start. There's a lot that needs to go right for them to be a team like they were last year.
No doubt about it. And I think a lot of managers are probably going to be thinking the same way that you were about the Aaron Judge is not going to be the one guy that beats us, but they do have a bunch of former MVPs, some of whom maybe can kind of tap into that aura from years past. We'll see. Rest of the American League, I think the Central, just like the NL, is kind of wide open. West seems to run, though, through the Astros most years, and I don't know that anything's really changed out there this year per se, though they are definitely starting to look different than maybe we've envisioned them over the years. No more Bregman. You got Jose Altuve in the outfield. Justin Verlander is gone. That's just a handful of those changes. But what stands out to you about the AL West?
Yeah, I think the Astros might come back to the pack a little bit, but still be, of course, a contender for a wild card, if not a division. To me, there's still separation with Houston, Seattle, and Texas versus the A's and the Angels. Could the A's get a little bit better this year? Yes. The Rangers are very well liked. Seattle should be better. I mean, they're a fringe playoff team every year. Yeah, for me, I still think Houston, you know, is going to be the same Houston that they were in terms of being a playoff contender. It's just that they're not as much of a powerhouse, I would put it. They're in their transition period right now. Anyway, the way I see it, I had the Rangers winning the division barely over Houston and Seattle. I think those three will be within maybe 5-6 games of each other by the end of the year.
Very interesting, and we're going to see how it all plays out with, at least for most clubs, 161-plus games still to go as we head into the weekend. But, Scott, we covered an awful lot there, and I know you guys cover an awful lot on Foul Territory, so tell us a little bit about what you guys have coming up for this season and what we should be looking out for.
I appreciate it, Grant. So we're on every single day, year-round, like you mentioned, 2 hours, 1 to 3 Eastern. We get a Major League player on almost every day, often get many Braves players on. So if you're a Braves fan, tune in. We talk about your team plenty. And for us, yeah, we just keep cranking, putting out more shows, putting out more content, and serving the TV audience as well, FanDuel Sports Network. Down there in Atlanta, we're on every single day. So if you're more of a TV over getting your show on a podcast or YouTube kind of person, then we've got that option for you as well. But yeah, we're cranking. We're in Cincinnati now. We'll be on the road probably about once a month over the season, and that includes Atlanta in July, which we're looking forward to.
All right. It sounds like covering all the bases to me. Look forward to chatting with you soon and definitely hooking up with you when you guys get down here to Atlanta later this season.
Yes, I will let you know. Grant, great to talk to you. Braves fans, deep breaths.
All right, wise words. He's Scott Braun, Foul Territory. Make sure you're following him on social. At Scott Braun is where you can find him. As always, I appreciate him making some time for me. And make sure you check out everything that Foul Territory has going on. A lot of great stuff to be had there. All right, when we come back, we will wrap up this edition of From the Diamond and talk about a few more things for the Braves in this opening week. And, of course, what lays ahead as they do battle with the Dodgers to start the week. We'll get into all of that on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.